Welcome to Grand River Radical Radio here on 100.3 Sound FM. Tuesday, April 17th, and this is Anti-Prison Radio with special guest in studio today, Alex Hundert. How you doing, Alex?
I'm good, Dad. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing pretty nice, as we were saying. You know, it's not as sunny as it was. I don't have as much energy this morning, but I think we're going to talk a little bit, some good stuff, so I'm excited. It's really nice to have you back in town for today for and into the studio. It's been almost 2 years since you've been
since
in
I've
studio.
I've actually been in studio.
In studio,
yeah,
in a Sound FM studio.
I've got to say, I this new space is very impressive, Dan. I like what you all have done with the place.
It's been a pretty hard working crew that has been working here at Sound FM for the last little while, really putting things up. And
well, kudos to all of you. It's been quite impressive watching y'all save this station and keep it going.
Well,
and I think it's a really impressive work that people have done in this town, keeping community radio alive.
Well, thank you. And if you feel like it, you know, we got some markers you can draw on the walls if you like. Leave a little message for all the great volunteers and programmers here at Sound FM. But yeah, this is Grand River Radical Radio. Check us out online. We're still building our website, but work in progress. Check it out as it goes along. Give us some comments. It's GrandRiverMC.ca, and we're twittering away in Twitter sphere. Twitterverse, blogosphere.
Twittering.
Yes, twittering away.
I do that.
It's, at Alex Hundert.
Yeah, I'd be twittering right now, but I'm not allowed to have a cell phone, so I haven't tweeted, as it would be, in a couple of days since I've been in town.
Since you've been in town, yeah, running some workshops?
Yeah. I was in town for WPIRG, brought me in to facilitate the first two in a series of Indigenous Sovereignty and Solidarity workshops on Six Nations Grand River Territory. And I think they went okay. It was a brand new workshop that I designed specifically for WPIRG. And I think it went pretty well. And I'm looking forward. We're doing another two. We're running the workshops again on April 29th and 30th at UW. And if you go onto the WPIRG website, WPIRG.org, I'm sure you can find a way to register for those workshops.
I would hope so. I know there's more information. We have the email to link to or to contact on peaceculture.org.
Peaceculture.org as well, the old AWOL website.
Yes.
And, you know, what we talked about in those workshops is basically, it's an introduction to some of the issues around why it's important, why it's, imperative to support Indigenous sovereignty struggles and Indigenous sovereignty-based land struggles. And, that includes talking about the local history of colonialism and some of the national, institutional, and bureaucratic structures of colonialism and the impacts on communities, but about the history of Indigenous resistance and some models for solidarity activism and supporting communities. I think they went pretty well. So I'd encourage people to sign up for one of the next ones. Yeah.
Definitely. I enjoyed yesterday's. Got some more, some tools and techniques. Definitely worthwhile for anybody to go to. So, yeah, I suggest everybody check it out next 2 weeks from now. Next time. 2 weeks from now. Today, Tuesdays on Grand River Radical Radio, or GRR, we do an anti-prison radio show. We've just kind of started our schedule, our weekly schedule. We don't know if that's going to be our set schedule or if we're going to move it around a little bit. And today we're going to be talking to Alex a bit. Alex is going to hop behind the old board here, see if he remembers how to run things as a former host on a programmer here at Sound FM on AWOL Radio. I think he probably remembers how to run things.
I'm pretty sure I can figure it out.
We'll play a piece from openfile.ca. It's a Carmel Wolfson interview with Mandy Hiscox. We don't need to play the AWOL radio interview with Mandy Hiscox right now. We can. We've played it a few times, last week, I believe. And we want to know what you think of our anti-prison radio idea. Any suggestions you have on what we should be doing, what you think we should be doing, prisoner support radio, any type of news we should be getting out specifically, just let us know. Email us at let's go with dan@soundfm.ca. But yeah, so Alex, again, welcome back. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? Being back, a couple things are on my mind. One, it being Prison Radio Day, and it also being Mandy's birthday.
Happy birthday.
I'm thinking a little bit about, and it being Prison Radio Day, I've got some thoughts in my mind thinking about, trying to imagine the differences between being in what we might call boy jail and what we might call girl jail. And I'm not a big fan of those binaries normally, but jail is very much organized in those kind of ways. And, just thinking, Mandy put out a new blog piece just, I think, last night or the other day. It hit the internets. And just thinking about what it's like inside Vanier as opposed to, say, Maplehurst in the women's prison instead of the men's prison. Also being, just being back in KW, I haven't spent much time here at all since the arrests, or since I got out of jail anyways. And with the April 28th Six Nations march coming up, been thinking a lot about Six Nations kind of politics and the politics of support and solidarity and some of the issues, and listening to some of the optimistic people talking about the potential of this upcoming march next Sunday,
a week Sunday, the 28th,
and being really hopeful that that optimism is warranted. And the same time, being kind of, myself, tend not to be described as an optimistic person, a little bit of a cynic sometimes, and kind of wondering why why there still is so little support for Indigenous struggles, Six Nations in particular, given how much information has been put out there. Like, if I think about the amount of research and the resources that are available now that weren't available, say, in 2005 on Six Nations history and the legitimacy of the claims to the land, whether they are part of the specific land claims process, comprehensive process, or otherwise. And just like, there aren't a lot of people denying any of that. People don't want to care or something, and it's disappointing to see that the kind of racist position of someone like Gary McHale getting actually more attention in the national narrative than what anyone from Six Nations has ever had to say about the conflict that happened there. Unlike what happened around, say, Ganawagi, which, while it became known as the Oka Crisis, and I suppose the incident from 2006 has become largely known as the Caledonia incident, not a Six Nations thing. It's strange how that always happens. But, Gary McHale has been given a pulpit. A nationally respected journalist wrote a book basically spewing his bile. And the words of people of Six Nations and explaining what happened there and what it has meant and the impact and even just the situation that brings it all about, one or two relatively cheaply made documentaries, and that's really it. There's been very little comprehensive or concerted. There's been very little of the voice getting out, and very little comprehensive or concerted effort to get that out. And that's what I'm thinking about also. Coming out of 2 days of Indigenous Sovereignty and Solidarity workshops.
So you got a little bit going on, thinking about right now, some pretty complex interwoven.
Yeah, I'm also going to jail in a couple months. That's kind of shitty, too.
That is...
am I allowed to swear on the air still, Dan?
I mean, it's real. You know, it's real. We're representing how we live.
No,
but you're not supposed to.
And it is the morning. I'll try to be good.
Try to tone it down unless you want to do some poetry.
All right.
Or speak in rhyme.
All right.
Then.
So if I get angry, I'll try to remember to rhyme. That'll sound really convincing.
Yeah. Exactly. That's. You know, it's all about our, it's all about freedom of expression.
Right. Oh yeah, that's what it's about.
So I guess you're saying, well, here it is, the anti-prison show as well. Did you want to talk about in a few months going to jail, about the case a bit?
We could do that.
All right, we can get into it a bit. Maybe a tune real quick.
All right.
Set something up, and yeah, we'll think about what we're going to talk about all. I've been really enjoying this song. I've been telling Alex that I've been playing a lot of Byron on the old radio station here in the morning, in the afternoon, whenever I come in and just play around. And the Ballad of Marv is one I've really enjoyed. It's about... it was an incident in Colorado, and basically this guy had enough. The city council said no. He was getting mistreated a little bit by the local police department. City council was kind of ruining his job and his business, not allowing him to do some stuff. And so he built a killdozer, he called it, and it basically reinforced a truck. And called it a killdozer and drove around the town and just destroyed the town, just driving it through businesses, into City Hall.
His primary target was the bank.
The bank, yeah, yeah. So Byron wrote a song about this local hero, the Ballad of Marv.
June 4th, 2004, the story I will retell. A Marvin John here, my road on through hell. Marv told his friends just what he was planning to do. Some thought him hero, somewhere they thought him a fool. Marv built his kill doors, he climbed on down inside. Lowered the steel shell and took it out for a ride. Destroyed all the police cars, the buildings which stood in his way. For the police and the council, today was their judgment day. Sir God stuck. Marv took his own life. The soul was at peace now, having done what he felt was right. Destroyed all the police cars, the buildings which stood in his way. For the police and the council, today was their judgment day. Oh, Cinnamon, we're gonna run to run, Cinnamon. We're gonna run to run, Cinnamon. We're gonna run to all on that day.
All right, that was Byron with the Ballad of Marv here in the morning on Grand River Radical Radio. Well, we got Danger Dingo in studio today, starting to yell at me a little bit. Hey, bud, wanna go for a walk? Is that it? Yeah, okay, well, yeah, that's right, I talked to my dog in studio, no one else can see him, but they can hear him. Get Dingo on the air, anyways.
He's there.
I
can attest to that, the fact that that's not...
Oh, there it is.
Pretty real, yeah.
There it is, okay, see, not just lying, anyways. We're here with Alex Hunnert in studio this morning.
Word.
And, he's going to take over the old DJ a little bit as I take Danger Ding for a little walk. We're going to play a piece from Carmel Wolfson, The Open File 2 years later. Both you and I have also done interviews with Carmel Wolfson. And
for this series. On the G20.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you're looking for an open file, you can just search... the G20 accused 2 years later, openfile.ca, or Carmel Wolfson. She's on Twitter and whatnot as well.
Team Carmel on Twitter.
Team Carmel, that's right. So we're going to play this interview she did with Mandy a few weeks ago now.
it being both Prison Radio and Mandy's birthday, I believe, yesterday.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable to play some Mandy. So, since she, again, is in jail at Vanier right now, and unfortunately, we've heard the women in Vanier don't have radios in at least most of the jail. There might be spots. So they can't tune in to this anti-prison show, but to anybody listening, hello. So we're going to play this with Mandy. You want to, should we just play this? Going to talk about it afterwards a little bit, or?
Play it.
Play it. All right. Here's Carmel Wolfson with interview with Mandy Hiscox.
Activist Mandy Hiscox is now serving a 16-month jail term under maximum security. She was sentenced for her role in organizing a protest against the G20 in 2010. The morning before the G20 summit began in Toronto, police arrested Hiscox and charged her and 16 others with conspiracy. It was another month before Hiscox was released on bail. She was then put under house arrest for 9 more months. In November of last year, Hiscox and 5 others pled guilty to counseling charges so that 11 of their co-accused would have their charges dropped. Speaking to Hiscox over the phone from Vanier Center for Women in Milton, she tells me about her arrest 2 years ago.
I was arrested at about 4:30 in the morning, that morning of the 26th. And there was a loud bang on the door, and we were just getting ready to go to bed. So the cops burst in the door, broke the door down, and one cop came in with his gun out. You know, they were yelling, get down on the ground, get down on the ground, hands on your head. And then they took us to the Eastern Detention Center. They put our bail hearing over. We came that day straight to Vanier. And at Vanier, they had cleared out an entire wing of the jail for only G20 protesters. The charges related for me to a call-out that I had helped to draft, which was a call-out for the Get Off the Fence March. The original charges were for conspiracy, and we didn't have a really good sense of what the potential was for conviction on the conspiracy, and we were very cognizant that that would be a really bad precedent to set. It hasn't been used successfully in a long time against activists, so that's one of the reasons that I decided to plead to counseling. And the other major reason for me is that by taking the deal from people who, for personal and political reasons, really needed to not be convicted on this, we were able to make sure that their charges got dropped. And I think that, not that this is anyone's fault, it's everyone's fault, but I think that with a different group of people, we could have taken this all the way to trial, and I think that would have been really useful.
Hiscox says the women in jail with her face time for breaching bail conditions, assault or shoplifting, and on rare occasions, murder charges. She feels her life is on hold in prison, but she's keeping herself busy with writing and other activities.
I think my sentence was overly long, but I mean, I don't think we would have got that much time if we had gone to trial, but it was a gamble, you know? And I think most people here are doing sentences that are unreasonable. A lot of people plead guilty because they can't take the time. They don't want to wait in here because they haven't gotten bail. So most of the people here have not actually ever been found to be guilty of anything. There's a lot of people in here who are not on any criminal charges. They're just immigration holds. So they're just waiting for Immigration Canada to decide if they're going to be deported or if they're going to be released. At any given time, there's probably, like, I'd say at least 5 people out of a range of 31, and there's probably more, and I just don't know. And some people are held for a really long time. One woman who was just released is here for 16 months when Immigration Canada finally said, you know, oh, we don't have anything on you, you can go.
Uncertainty is a common experience in prison. Hiscox has been under maximum security since arriving at Vanier 2 months ago. She doesn't know if or when that will change.
There doesn't seem to be a really valid reason why Leah and I are being held on maximum security. The normal process is that you come in, everyone goes to maximum security when they come in. They look at your charges, they look at your behavior, they see if you're violent, and then most people get to move to a minimum security wing. And that hasn't happened for me, and so I put in a request to get the reason in writing, which I'm allowed to do, but so far I haven't heard anything about moving or why I can't move.
Hiscox says says the charges against her were politically motivated. She believes the state was looking to sever links between anarchists and Indigenous communities in Canada.
I think it speaks to just the really conservative nature of Canada right now. A lot of people in the country are getting targeted, and it's not only political activists. Regardless of why it's happening, I really think that it should make people more determined to keep doing what they're doing. The intention is to make people scared to protest, scared to organize, and since that is the clear intent of the government, I think that we need to acknowledge that and make sure that that doesn't work. I think it's important to realize that the people who came together to organize against the G20 are motivated by social justice, human rights, the environment, things that most people in the world, I would hope, can get behind.
Since being arrested and jailed, Hiscox is more determined than ever to continue fighting for social justice. When she gets released from prison in December, she plans to return to work at Outberg in Guelph. For now, she's giving a voice to people like herself who are stuck inside prison.
I would just like people to know that the people in here are really everyday folks. You know, there's a lot of people who are really great. Just people have been, you know, thrown a few more curveballs and had more to deal with and maybe have had less resources to help them deal with it. And for the most part, that's the people that are in here.
For Open File, I'm Carmel Wolfson.
That was Carmel Wolfson's interview with my good friend, Amanda Hiscox, who is currently in Vanier Center for Women, serving a sentence for crimes relating to the G20. She's also my co-accused in such accusations against us. Mandy, I, and a bunch of other people, as regular listeners of this show, were all charged with a whole bunch of wacky conspiracy charges relating to the planning that went into the week of protests for against the Toronto G20, when this new austerity agenda that we're all starting to live through was formalized and committed to by the powers that be of the G20 nations. And, you know, we'll get into talking about austerity more on this show, perhaps, and G20 stuff as we, you know, I have a feeling in this town and on this station, as in my own personal experience, jail and the G20 are kind of intricately linked. I served 5 months of pretrial custody before the whole kind of circusy court proceedings started. And then we'll be in, probably in June, going back into jail to serve the rest of my sentence. Mandy, who you just heard from, and myself, pled guilty to two counts each, one of counsel to commit mischief, one of counsel to obstruct police. Four other people pleaded guilty to counsel to commit mischief. And as Mandy was saying, a bunch of people got off. But Leah Henderson and Amanda Hiscox are currently in jail. And as are lots of other people. And there are, you know, while there are also other people in jail for charges stemming from the G20, another friend of mine, Gur Rally, is one of those. But there are other people. There are people currently on trial for G20 charges. Byron Sunny is one of them. And as is a man whose name is escaping me right now, who hasn't had much to do with the whole support movement, but a TTC employee who just got caught up in kind of the spirit of the day, as it were, on June 26, 2010. But there's, you know, G20 really, while it may for myself and some people in our communities have a lot to do with jail, G20 really has nothing to do with jail other than the austerity agenda, which is, you know, ostensibly selling out social services and the poorest interests in the state so that the current version of the capitalist economy can remain as profitable as possible for those whose wealth is accrued from that system, what Occupy would call the 1%. And there, you know, there's lots of people in jail, and people who are in jail are probably sitting around and have people outside of jail and in communities who miss them very much. And this track that we're going to play is dedicated to everybody who has loved ones on the inside right now. This is Alex Hunter, and you are listening to Sound FM. Listening to Sound FM, this is Grand River Radio, and today you are listening to some prison radio. We are talking about prison on the radio, and I actually think Dan has a much more particular meaning for what he means by prison radio and prison radio projects, And he and I actually haven't had a chance to talk about that a whole lot yet. And so we'll get into that when he gets back from walking the dog, as it were. And momentarily, I am going to continue to talk about our friend Mandy Hiscox, who's in Vanier. She has been writing a blog that people have been putting out from jail. She's been writing it and either sending or dictating her blog entries, and people on the outside have been posting them at boredbutnotbroken.tao.ca. That's boredbutnotbroken.tao.ca. And just on Saturday night, a new blog post from Mandy went up on the site. The post is written back in March, but it just went up. It's brand new, and I will be reading that shortly. But before that, I am going to go to some more music. That last track was something that you may not hear a whole lot of on this station. That was the Marvelettes. Mr. Postman, but that was the Kraga dubstep remix. I don't know if there's anybody playing dubstep on this radio show in Toronto. That's kind of all you hear these days. This next track, though, is not dubstep. It's just a song I like that I'm going to play on the radio.
When you find you're tired, when you find you're all fed up, when you find your love's expired, don't worry if you're out of love, yeah. If it's not what you want, you can change it. If it's not what you want, don't take it. If it's losing, it's luster, baby. Just call me anytime. Cut them loose, singing out with the oh, oh, oh.
Too proud, did you not want to throw in the towel? Were you holding on to all those years like they were yesterday? If it's not what you want, just change it. If it's not what you want, don't take it. If it's losing, it's lost, oh baby, just call on me anytime. Cut them loose, singing out with you.
When you find you're tired, when you find you're all fed up, when you find your love's expired, don't worry when you're out of love. Cause if it's not what you want, you can change it. If it's not what you want, you don't take it. If it's losing its luster, baby, just call on me anytime. Cut them loose, sing it out with the oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh.
So that was a band called Casa de Mondo. I have never in my life been able to find another song written by that band other than that one. But I really like that song. I think it's pretty good. And so I played it because I'm on the radio. Dan's back in the station. Hey, Dan.
Hi, everyone. You are on the radio. It's it was nice to be walking around, you know, walking the dog, as it were, and to hear Alex Hunter on the radio in Waterloo once again. it's been a while there, too long.
It has
too long. I mean, we've heard your voice, I suppose, We've been playing some interviews, your interview with Carmel and other ones over the past couple of years, but the live is always a little more entertaining.
It's nice to be here. I've been on via radio once or twice as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. So,
Mandy's blog.
Mandy's blog. Should I read it?
I think that'd be nice.
All right. I actually... Oh, you heard, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. It's already been introduced. As I was saying before the break, the date on this piece is March 17th. And I guess I'll just give it a read. The title it has is A Series of Unfortunate Events. Written from Vanier. The past few days have been the worst yet since I got here. I've been putting a lot of effort into a few specific things. My health, a daily routine, responding to mail, working on the blog and other projects. Those things have been keeping me pretty grounded and okay. And now, one by one, they have all been dealt some pretty serious blows. First, I got sick. I probably brought this upon myself by writing in a couple of letters how crappy it would be to get sick in here. Knock on cardboard, I joked. Knock on paper bag, that hasn't happened yet, ha ha. A few days later, I come down with the unit 2F cold. Waking up in the middle of the night with a headache I can feel behind my eyes and my ears into my teeth. Sigh. Should have knocked on pencil, I guess. Anyway, as predicted, being sick in here is really not fun. There's no getting away from the noise of 30 people plus one blaring television, for one thing. And you can't just ask for painkillers when you need them. The nurse won't even give out over-the-counter cough syrup. Some requested something for a cold once. What did she say, I asked. She said, stay sick, bitch. I'm sure that's not what she said, really, but it does seem to be the attitude around here at times. I hope I don't ever come down with anything serious. Knock on pencil. At the same time I got sick, I got a new celly. She is great, really, really nice, but she goes to bed very late and doesn't sleep well. The beds are a couple feet apart and we're locked in a small space with a light on all night. That means I also go to bed very late and don't sleep well, which means I don't get up early, which means I don't do the stretch and workout routine before breakfast. On March 15th, while I was, one, sick, and two, dealing with this new not really sleeping thing, there was a search. The general consensus on the range, which does not make it true, was that it was because a couple of inmates had been caught smoking or about to smoke something in their cell the night before. So despite the fact that we had all been hauled off the range just a week ago for a strip search while guards searched our cells, we had to do it all over again. Ladies, up against the wall, you're going out. There is much grumbling, but it turns to happy chatter once we realize it's nights outside and remember the yard hasn't been called for that morning. Most of us make a beeline for the corner of the yard furthest from the door, hoping to go in last. Due to the splitting headache, I pass on the customary handstand against the wall contest. Get a bunch of girls together and eventually there will be gymnastics. And close my eyes and soak up the sun instead. Searches are a pain, but at least we get yard today. Eventually, it's my turn and I have to go in. The guard who strip searches me look like it's the last thing in the world she wants to be doing, and frankly, I can relate. After the search, I join the rest of 2F in a program room that looks suspiciously like a grade school classroom, and we wait, and wait, and wait. It's getting hot and people are getting cranky. It's taking forever. What are they doing to our stuff in there? It's been so long that the guard at the door takes pity on us and asks if we want to go back outside. Yes, indeed, we certainly do. So we go outside and wait for more. People's hopes of squeezing in that last phone call before dinner fading along with the sunshine. And then, Hiscox. Oh, shit. Two white shirts are waiting for me inside. The male speaks. Remember that conversation we had last week? Yep, you told me to keep no more than a week's worth of letters, 50 to 60. I did that, and I sent a bunch of stuff to my property. He denies that this is what he said. It is, in fact, what he said. You're going to go up there and get rid of most of your stuff. Here are the guidelines for what you can keep. He hands me a piece of paper. This is what's on it. Approved cell contents. Health and beauty aids as posted in each wing. Books / magazines and photographs up to a maximum of 6. None of which may be of that or any other inmate in the facility as posted in each wing. Games as posted in each wing. Stationery as posted in each wing. It should be noted that due to ongoing security concerns, these items and allowable amounts may be amended. All excess item will be considered to be contraband and will be removed. Also, containers, for example, shampoo bottles, etc., that have been used to hold something other than the printed contents will be considered to be contraband. Any contraband items that have been removed from a cell will be noted on a search report and or occurrence report. Clothing as designated by the unit rules for each area also allowed. None of this is very useful since I am being escorted straight to my cell by a guard, and obviously that is not where the unit rule as posted in each wing are posted. But the paper does have one interesting piece of information right at the top. Policy. In an effort to minimize the amount of personal property or items that sometimes accumulate in inmate cells and to make searching of inmate cells more expedient, the following is a list of approved cell contents. As in the highly suspect fire hazard story I've previously been given is quite possibly bullshit. In any case, it's not mentioned here. They just want easier searches. The white shirt made sure to let me know that the reason we're singling you out is that on this entire unit, you have the most stuff. Those of you who know me and have seen the state of my home and or storage locker know, and I don't deny that this could be true. In this case, however, it's not. A lot of people here have a lot of stuff. I shared a cell briefly with a woman who had at least 20 books. But they were religious, and the articles in my room and the pages of notes and drafts I'm working on are political. The jail might want me to sit around playing cards and watching mindless television all day, but I prefer to be more productive with my time. Is this a problem? Apparently so. We get to my cell. It's a mess. It looks like there's been a break and enter, which I guess there sort of has. Letters have been ripped from envelopes and are all over the bed. Papers that were neatly organized into folders are strewn about randomly. Notes and drafts for different projects are all mixed up. They all look the same, pencil on lined paper. Articles sent in by friends, legal documents, blank paper, everything is everywhere. Now let's be clear. Everything I own in here, including clothes, books, toiletries, Scrabble, can fit on a small shelf and in a Tupperware about the size of a banker's box with room to spare. We're not talking a lot of stuff here, but it's everything I have and everything I have to do. Needless to say, I'm slightly devastated. The guard is unmoved. Keep only what you really need. Put the rest of these property in property envelopes. Yes, well, that would have been a lot easier if you hadn't mixed everything all up now, wouldn't it? I'm overwhelmed by the chaos and the very cognizant of all the people waiting to be let back inside, waiting only for me to be done. It's my fault they're still out there. It's faulty logic. I know we're not to blame. I know we don't blame the Black Bloc for police violence. I can't blame the inmates who were caught last night, so what is happening to me because of this search? I shouldn't blame myself for what the guards did to my cell. But still, I can't help feeling the amount of time it's taking is all my fault, so I rush. It doesn't help that the guard is standing in the doorway watching. She's being very nice about the whole situation, but she's stressing me out, so I throw stuff into envelopes, kind of randomly. It's hard to pay attention because I am shaking with helpless rage and frustration at the stupidity of all this. I realize later that some really, really important things are missing. Did the guards take them without telling me? That's not allowed, by the way. Or did I mistakenly put them into the property envelopes? Only one way to find out. I ask if I can take a quick look through the envelopes before they're taken to property. The first answer is, I don't see why not, they're still sitting right there on the desk. Then 5 minutes later, you're going to have to fill out a request form with exactly what's missing. How very efficient. How very unlikely to actually work. I fill out the forms anyway. This is what I am missing from the search. At least 20 paid-for stamped envelopes. Canadian International and U.S. in a green folder from the social work containing work in progress and paperwork from my lawyer. I know exactly what these things look like. So it would be easiest if you gave me 15 minutes with the property envelopes. I hastily assembled on March 15th. Thanks. Later on, the male white shirt from before comes in with the request form to tell me that the guy who can deal with me is away until tomorrow, and this might all take some time. It's amazing how simple things can be made complicated here. It's hard to explain why this all has all been so difficult. I'm not a particularly emotional person, but that night I found myself struggling not to cry at the table, and eventually I just had to find a quiet corner away from the masses. It's embarrassing because what do I really have to cry about? Compared to the stories I hear every day on the range, my life is wonderful, even in here. I guess clinging to a predictable routine gave me some sense of control. Making sure I answered all my mail made me feel like I am still a part of a community, and having projects to work on made me feel less useless in here. It makes sense that in control, connected, and valuable is not how our jailers want us to feel. I have to admit that I feel targeted. I try to keep the world is against me feelings in check in this place because that could really get out of hand. I try to give the people who work here the benefit of the doubt, so I tell myself that maybe it wasn't political. Maybe I need to calm down with conspiracy theories. Sure, there are other people with a lot of stuff in their cells that didn't get treated like this. Sure, I'm still on maximum security for no good reason, but in fact, it is political. This morning, the female white shirt involved in the search went into my cell. I assume she's checking that I got rid of enough stuff, which I definitely did. She calls me in, oh, for fuck's sake, what now? She's got a problem with the political prisoner calendar up on my wall. The page of it that's up on the wall. This has to go into your property. Why? Because of the message. It's the anarchy symbol. There's no circle A here. The picture is a pile of shoes with a pair of boots standing out conspicuously. It's the message it sends. Send it to your property. This is the text. Quote, with undercover agents, infiltrators, and informants, the state tries to undermine our movements. Because we resist, because we are strong. Shockingly subversive, isn't it? This is how threatening our movements are to power. Tuesday, March 20th. Well, it's been a few days now and I'm over it. I'm not sick anymore. My sleepless nights have ended because my cellie moved to minimum security and I had two really nice visits. I put up a beautiful poem. Thanks, Adam. That I'd managed to salvage from the wreckage called Imagine the Angels of Bread by Martin Espada. Here's my favorite part. This is the year that those who swim the borders under tow in the shivers and boxcars are greeted with trumpets and drums at the first railroad crossing on the other side. Isn't that an amazing image? I read the poem every morning to give myself hope for what the world could be. And I've learned my lesson from this latest bout of bullshit. One, don't expect that behaving reasonably in here means I will be treated reasonably in return. Two, be flexible. Don't rely on only one routine that I'll never be able to completely control. Three, don't be so attached to things. They can and probably will be taken away. Sunday, March 25th. On March 21, I get called out of afternoon lockup. What have I done now? I ask the guard. And he replies, it's hard to know around here sometimes. Waiting for me in a little room just outside the range are the white shirt who didn't like the message on the political prisoner calendar and the deputy superintendent who is caught a bit off guard when she introduces herself and I stick out my hand. Why did I shake a jailer's hand? No idea. Force of habit, I guess. And I haven't lost the expectation of being someone's equal, even in here. She tells me that tomorrow she'll arrange for me to look through the things I lost to the search. This is very exciting and also completely unexpected. I really didn't think they'd bother dealing with my request. The next day, she's stuck in meetings, so it doesn't happen. I know how that feels. Too many meetings. Poor woman. But what I wouldn't give for a meeting to go to right now. On March 23rd, it actually happens. I'm brought to a small room, and all of the property envelopes are brought in with me, along with a pile of mail I was never given with the received on stamps dating back to February 28th. A couple of the letters are addressed to Leah. Apparently, our mail is read by the same security people. I'm told I can look, but not keep, the three magazines that were sent to me. The Peak's Criminalization of Dissent issue, the March-April 2012 issue of The Dominion, and the January-February 2012 issue of The Briar Patch. Why can't I have them? Because we don't want them being passed on to other intermates. You can't perpetuate an opinion. It's okay to share the Globe and Mail, but apparently progressive ideas are to be kept in check. I flip through the Briar Patch. What's wrong with this one? She looks through it, seems unsure. It's the discretion of the superintendent. She's not willing at this point to allow it in your cell. I'd like a reason, preferably in writing, why I can't have this. She leaves and comes back. She doesn't want to give you a reason at this time. Indeed, she hasn't thought of one that sounds remotely reasonable yet, no doubt. I look at the pile of stuff from the search and notice that the green folder I had asked about is not in a property envelope. I'd been starting to suspect it wasn't actually in my cell when I was brought in to clean it up, because despite my angry, slightly shell-shocked state, I'm pretty sure I would have noticed putting something that green, that big, and that important into property. Why is it not in the property envelope? Some things were placed in there for security to review. And there we have it. The truth comes out. Security went through things that I was told to send to my property because there was too much stuff in my cell. Some questions remain, among them, one, did security take the folder before or after I cleaned up the room? Two, what else did they look through? Three, was everything returned? Four, was the entire search a cover for security to go through my stuff? See? There go the conspiracy theories getting out of hand again. So now, that's all over. I have the stuff back that I need, and my reactions to the entire fiasco seem, in hindsight, overly dramatic. But it wouldn't be fair to share my experiences with you through the lens of rationality and perspective, would it? It would make me look better, but it wouldn't be real. I learned another important lesson. Don't blame the guards unless I know for a fact they're the ones making the decisions. In my case, the shit seems to be trickling down from the top. The guards are not the real problem here. Blame and credit where they are due. One last thing. I was forced to store a lot of letters that I hadn't had a chance to respond to yet. If you've been expecting a letter from me and haven't received one, that's why. To check to see if I've mailed you something or if I received anything from you, you can email mandyjailmail@gmail.com. I'm really sorry about this. Basically, you're all so amazing and write me so much that I can't keep up. I'm going to try harder to stay on top of it. Love and quite a lot of rage this time. Mandy.
We're back here on Grand River Radical Radio. Here in the morning on GRRR on Sound FM. Check us out, soundfm.ca, 100.3 on the FM dial. CKMS, Waterloo, Ontario. We're here with Alex Hundert, and he just read out a piece by Amanda Hiscox, her jail blog. It's boredbutnotbroken.dao.ca, TAO.ca. Yeah, it was a really interesting piece. And you were saying you've had a similar experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, and it was, when I was in on a West Detention Center, I had a cellmate who had done, you know, the better part of 20 odd years in jail and different institutions. It kind of, a very seasoned inmate, if you were, as it were. And he told me that this thing that happened to me was something he'd only ever seen happen once or twice ever. To in the extent that it did. And one day while I was out at a visit, a few of what are called, they're like the special unit within the prison that is responsible for not just security, but also for ratting out on the other guards and catching people doing stuff. And a few of them came in and brought my cellmate into the cell and had him be like, what's your stuff and what's 100 stuff? And security took everything, every single piece of paper in my property and all my books, none of my other property, just my paper and books out of the cell. And kept them for 4 days without telling me anything.
And did you end up...
And then brought it all back.
Anything missing?
Not that I noticed.
So basically going through, reading
Wanted
it
to
all?
Go through it and read it all. Basically, my presumption is... the rat on the range, the person who was informing them about what was going on and what people are up to, because every range must have one, said, Hundert's got a lot of paper and he's on the phone a lot and it looks like he's up to something. And they wanted to know what. Wanted to know what I was writing, what I was reading. Because what all they can get otherwise is what people are sending in and what you're sending out to people other than your lawyer. And so they can never really be sure what you're writing unless they come and take every piece of paper out of your cell. That's, you know, scum.
That is. The unpredictability or the... I thought that was an interesting, really important part of Mandy's piece, which is like inability to, the schedules and not relying on a schedule.
Before I realized how little time we had, and I thought we had more time on the air, we're running out of time... I wanted to go back and those three lessons that she talks about them as having learned them as jail lessons. And I think those are life lessons given the now it's just a metaphor, but the system we live in, capitalism, consumerism, it is in and of itself a prison. We don't have real freedom of choice. We don't have real options. And I think those lessons that Mandy learned in prison are really good lessons about living with the world, in the world as it is, you know. Don't count on having control over anything, because the degree of control and comfort and comfort, it is an illusion. We have been made comfortable by excess and consumerism, but it is the illusion of comfort because there is no security in it and we don't really have control. And so I can't see the screen anymore, so I can't read out the lessons. But boredbutnotbroken.tau.ca.
Yeah, definitely check it out. This is Grand River Radical Radio. We're going to leave you with one last song. And tomorrow, anti-institutional radio here on GER with DJs Ian and Shannon. Really fun stuff. So listen in tomorrow, listen in Thursday, listen in Friday, listen in every day. And we got Domingo coming up next with Dominican Culture. And this is The World Turned Upside Down, The Rebel Spell, under for Radical Radio.
In 1649, St. George's Hill, a ragged band they call came to show the people's will. They defied the landlords, they defied the laws. They were the dispossessed, reclaiming what was theirs. We come in peace, they said, to dig and sow. We come to work the lands in common and to make the waste ground grow. This earth divided, we will make whole. So it will be a common treasury for all. The sin of property we do disdain. No man has any right to buy and sell the earth for private gain. By theft and murder, they took the land. Now everywhere the walls spring up at their command. They make the laws to chain us well. The clergy dazzle us with heaven, or they damn us into hell. We will not worship the God they serve, the God of greed. Ritual, Pullman stuff. We work, we eat together. We need no source. We will not bow to the masters or pay rent to the lords. So we are free men. Cut them down.